Chapter 15. The Second Time I Lost You. September 11th, 2003. Manhattan. To my child. I wrote my last letter in Dresden on the day you died, and I thought I'd never write another word to you. But here I am, sitting in New York in the same apartment I lived in years ago, and I want to tell you what has happened. It was 2 years ago today that I lost everything for the second time. I had just finished writing a letter to you, and I was walking in the street in Dresden when I saw a crowd of people in front of a shop. I stopped to see what they were looking at. And it was there, on many different TVs in the shop window, that I first saw the plane crash into the World Trade Center. The TVs repeated the video again and again. In the days that followed, I read the lists in the newspapers of the people who had died. Grandfather of 14, chef, new mother, Yankees fan, nurse, window washer, sister, bird watcher. And then one day I saw it. Thomas Schell. He leaves behind a wife and son. I stared at the page and thought about my son and my grandson. I knew I needed to do something. I put all the letters I had ever written to you into suitcases, and I got on a plane to New York. I didn't know if your mother would want to see me. So I wrote a note addressed to her and gave it to the doorman of your mother's apartment building. The note said, "I'm sorry." Then I waited across the street. I saw your mother get out of a big black limousine and go into her apartment building with a small boy. 40 years had passed, and she had changed a lot, but I still knew her. Later, I saw the boy come out and go into a building across the street. Nothing happened for the rest of the day. I wrote another message that said, "Do you want to see me again, or should I go away?" The next day, I saw a note on her window that said, "Don't go away." I still didn't know what to do. So I gave another note to the doorman that said, "Do you want to see me again?" I waited and waited, but no more messages appeared on her window. I went to ask the doorman if there was a note for me. There wasn't, but the doorman gave me a key. I went up in the elevator and saw that the apartment door was open. So I put the key safely in my pocket and walked in. She called to me from another room, only the guest room. That was how we slowly began our strange second life together. Every afternoon, someone used to come to the apartment. I could hear the door opening, and I could hear a child speaking and playing. One evening, when your mother came and left food outside my room, I asked her, "Is that my grandson?" She replied, "No, he's my grandson." "Can I meet him?" "No, because I taught him how to speak. I cried when he cried. I held him when he couldn't sleep. When he was angry, it was me that he shouted at." But she agreed to let me see him. The next day, I got into the coat closet and waited, so that I could see him through the keyhole. When the doorbell rang, she opened the door, and I saw his white shoes. "Oscar," she said, hugging him close. "I'm okay," he replied. In his voice, I heard my own voice, and my father's and grandfather's voices. "So that must be your voice too. It was like hearing your voice for the first time." I wanted to talk to him, but I didn't know what I would say. "I'm sorry. I love you." Maybe I needed to tell him all the things I couldn't tell you, or give him all the letters that were supposed to be for you. But I knew that your mother definitely wouldn't let me do that. I thought about how I could be close to Oscar and still be fair to your mother, and fair to you and fair to myself. I started to watch him and learn about his life. I followed him to school. I watched him walk around the city. I discovered which stores he liked to look in. I thought I could go on like that forever, but I was wrong. After a while, some of the things he was doing seemed strange. He was going out on his own a lot and visiting strange places. I was the only one watching him, and I was worried that his mother let him go so far alone. Then, every weekend, he started leaving his apartment building with an old man, and they went knocking on doors all around the city. I made a map of where they went, but I couldn't understand what they were doing. Who was the old man? Why did they only spend a few minutes at each apartment? Were they selling something or getting information? After they left one house, I waited and then knocked on the door. "I can't believe it," the woman said. "Another visitor." "I'm sorry," I wrote. "I don't speak. I'm his grandfather." "Why was he here?" She said, "About the key. He was looking for the lock." "What lock?" "Don't you know?" the woman said. I didn't know. For months, I followed him and talked to the people he talked to. I was trying to learn about him, while he was trying to learn about you. All of this really upset me. Why can't we all just say what we mean at the time? One day, Oscar and the old man went up the Empire State Building. I waited on the street outside for more than an hour before I saw the old man come out of the elevator. He was alone, so I started to worry about Oscar. Had this man left Oscar up there all alone? I hated him. I started to write something in my notebook, but he came up to me and held me by the arm. "I don't know who you are, but I've seen you following us. Go away." "I'm Oscar's grandfather. I don't speak. I'm sorry," I wrote in my notebook and showed him. "Oscar doesn't have a grandfather," the old man said. I wrote as quickly as I could and explained everything. After he had read my words, he said, "Oscar wouldn't lie to me." "He didn't lie. He doesn't know," I wrote. "If it's true, then you are the person who should be going around New York with him, not me." "I have been," I told him, but without him knowing. We heard Oscar singing. He was about to walk around the corner. His voice was getting louder. The old man said, "He's a good boy." And then he turned and walked away. I went straight home and sat on my bed. I thought about packing my things and leaving, or jumping out of a window. Someone rang the doorbell, but I didn't get up or answer it. I didn't care who it was. I wanted to be alone. But then, the person came in and called Grandma. It was him, Oscar. I didn't know what to say or what to do. And then he just told me everything. The vase, the key, Coney Island, the Bronx, the Empire State Building, and Mr. Black. The poor child, telling everything to a stranger. I wanted to build walls around him and save him. He talked and talked, and I could see that he was full of terrible sadness. My dad," he said. And then he ran to his apartment and brought me a phone. "I heard your last words." The last message ended suddenly. "You sounded very calm. You didn't sound like someone who was about to die. There is so much that I want to tell you and to write about. But I have no more pages in this notebook." When Oscar left the apartment, I told him to come when his grandmother was out if he ever needed me. The very next day, he came to me and said, "I want to dig up Dad's coffin." We talked for weeks about how we would do it. And then, one day, Oscar told me he was ready. "We would do it on the second anniversary of your death. Your father."